Preface. My grandfather, Ulysses Grant Stevens, had a reputation. He was quick-witted. Ulysses Grant, or Lester, as he preferred to be called, lived on Hilton Hill in Cornville, Maine. He married late in life and wedded a young Alice Getchell, 20 years his junior. When asked why he waited so long to complete his nuptials, Lester replied, "If I get a good wife, I'll be well paid for waiting. If I get a poor wife, then I will have long enough to live with her." This is only one example of my grandfather's sense of humor, and is probably where my brother Buzz and I inherited our pleasure of telling adventures. Often my mom would say that her dad, a dedicated member of the Grange and the Masons, would entertain whenever called upon or when an opportunity arose, whether the audience occurred at a scheduled meeting or whenever a bunch of folks gathered at a local store. He loved children. Lester and Alice had four children, and he valued their company no matter what he was doing. Two sons and two daughters, his youngest daughter, my mom, Polly, told me that when she was too young to walk in the woods with my grandfather, he would carry her in a pack basket until they reached their favorite trout hole, so my mom could fish with him. My mom's brother and my uncle, John Alden Stevens, tells how, at a very young age, he'd ride for hours in the lap of his father, mowing fields, while the farm's horse and rake did their work. I remember visiting my Republican grandfather when I was very young, at a time when he suffered terribly from Parkinson's disease. An illness so debilitating that the sickness caused this once rugged man to spend most of his day in the front room, lying on a bed by a window where he could observe his beloved apple orchard and watch for anybody who might come to call. At 4 years old, I would enter the too warm room and, at my mom's urging, walk nervously towards this man whose hands and head shook uncontrollably. When he heard my hesitant approach, he'd raise up on one forearm, wave his other hand at me, and say in a still firm voice, "Come see me, my damn low Democrat," and smile with a toothless grin when I ran to his bedside. He was caring. As a young girl, my mom contracted chicken pox and became so ill the family doctor had given little Polly up for lost. The physician told Lester and Alice that little could be done for their girl. The youngest daughter couldn't eat and was getting weaker every day. Lester didn't accept that prognosis. He searched to find food and discovered that his daughter could swallow warm milk. Gramp would rise every hour and milk a cow so Pauline could receive the nourishment that she needed. Eventually, my mom regained her health, married, and raised three robust boys who went on to have families of their own. My grandfather wasn't necessarily a good businessman. While Lester had a large farm and earned enough to take care of his family, it's been said that he would spend $20 to drive the 15 miles to sell a $10 pig. Lester loved the outdoors. He was an avid fisherman and hunter. And to keep his family fed, there are more than one incident where he had a brush with the local game wardens. One of my family's favorite stories is the night that Gramps decided to harvest some fresh venison that had been feeding on the cash crop in his nearby orchard. The incident occurred one crisp November night, and the air grew colder by the minute. A black cloud blinded the bright harvest moon and created a night that was darker than a pocket. The farmer's almanac predicted a hard frost, the perfect weather for deer to move and to feed. Lester climbed up onto the limb of one of his favorite Macintosh trees. Under the cover of night, he perched on a board, jammed bench-like between two extended limbs. Once settled, he rested his feet on the lower plank that had also been positioned in the tree stand early that day in preparation for the nighttime hunt. The evening's excursion had begun about 9:30, when Gramps exited through a back kitchen door into an L, an extended wing of the house, an addition which also served as a woodshed and a covered walkway that connected the house to the barn. Leaving the radiant warmth of the kitchen star kineo wood cook stove, Lester deliberately entered the cold, dim light of the dingy hallway and eased a canvas pack onto his back. He bent and picked up his 1893 Winchester 30-30 rifle with a flashlight already attached to the gun's octagon barrel. Once equipped, he faded through a darkened doorway into the November air. Gramps moved with purpose, careful not to display any interior lighting that they would disclose someone had exited the house. Dressed for an evening outside, the hunter slightly shivered as he marched to his post. When he arrived at the previously prepared tree, Gramps used the branches like a ladder and climbed until he was 6 feet off the ground. With the cloudless dark came the penetrating cold, but he was prepared. He'd used his tree before. Lester spread a buffalo robe over his legs, and beneath his fur wrap, he struck a match, careful to hide the flare. With the flame, he lit a kerosene lantern and placed the lamp on the footrest between his gun rubber boots. Gramps had learned years before that the oil-burning lamp was the perfect heat source, sure to keep his legs and feet warm. Family legend states that my grandfather sat quiet, unmoving for some time, when he heard a loud crack. His head snapped towards the sound. His eyes searched for any shape moving in the blackness. The noise echoed loud against a cold curtain of dark, had to be caused by an animal or something heavy that stepped on a frost-covered tree branch. Alert, with every muscle ready, Lester watched for a movement of any kind. The moon peeked from behind a cloud just long enough for my grandfather to recognize the silhouette of a man and see a glint of light that reflected off a bronze badge. Lester immediately doused the lantern, threw the buffalo robe aside, and slid off the opposite side of the fruit tree and headed back to the house. As he ran, he heard footsteps behind him in hot pursuit. Being a big but long-legged man on home ground, Lester quickly outdistanced his pursuers. My grandfather slightly opened the shed door and slid in sideways where he strode on a wooden floor to a pantry. Once in the warm house, he quickly unloaded the deer gun, removed the flashlight, and placed the firearm at its sentinel post beside the wood box just inside the kitchen door. Someone pounded on the front door and demanded entry. Lester hung his hat and coat on a nearby coat tree, lowered his suspenders, removed his boots, and took off his woolen shirt, which he threw over the back of a nearby kitchen chair. Semi-dressed, Gramps opened the top three buttons of his year-round undergarment of white cotton long johns. Unfastening the top button of his pants and messing up his hair to appear that he had just risen, my grandfather took a deep breath, turned up the kerosene lamp on the kitchen table that served as the family's nighttime illumination, and answered the door. Standing on the front stoop were two game wardens, dressed in blue wool garb, so he yawned and asked sleepily, "Can I help you guys?" The wardens officially questioned with frosty breaths, "We're chasing someone who is night hunting in your orchard up the hillways. You seen anybody?" they demanded. "Lord, no," Gramps replied and continued. "I've been in bed ever since dark. It's much too cold to be outside tonight. Good luck finding them, though, and thanks for protecting my crops." He then sent the wardens off with a, "Hope you catch them." Thus, Gramps had escaped a brush with the law. So he closed the door and went to bed while the wardens peered throughout the night for their man. Indeed, my grandfather had a reputation. He was a storyteller, a respected farmer, a proud family man, and an individual who sometimes made mistakes. But Lester was also a person who sought only to love his family, keep them healthy, safe, happy, and a person who struggled to sometimes pay his bills. The same goals and challenges that all of us aspire to each and every day of our lives. But what does my family really know about this man who lived on this earth for nearly 90 years and went to his maker in 1958 when I was 9? Then again, what do any of us really know about our heritage? And can it be argued that the story of each generation of the family unit is also the account of experiences that have shaped our lives? In the pages to follow, the reader will meet one such family, their trials, their hopes, and sometimes their fears. How much do you know about your ancestors? How much do you want to know?